With the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was interested to hear on the radio in the week that Genesis is going to be revived. Of course, not the book of Genesis, the band Genesis. Some of whom must be almost as old as the book of Genesis, I would have thought. I don't know whether you have read through the whole of the book of Genesis. It's an interesting read, if you do, and it's an important one because Genesis gives us the story that lies behind Israel's understanding of themselves as God's people. You will be familiar with many of the stories of the book of Genesis. You might not, if you've read it all, understand how they all fit together. Genesis, of course, begins with an account of the creation of the world. Then we have Adam and Eve and their fall from grace in the Garden of Eden. We have Cain's murder of Abel. Then we have Noah and the great flood, followed a few generations later by the Tower of Babel. Well, so far, God's creation doesn't seem to be going terribly well, does it? It's all a story of people disobeying God and moving further and further away from God's will for them. A few more generations pass, and then we find ourselves at the beginning of Genesis chapter 12 and the story of Abram. Who was he? Well, he was the eldest of three sons of a man named Terah, who lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. Ur is at the northwestern end of the Persian Gulf. It's somewhere around modern-day Basra in Iraq. And Abram was married. He'd married Sarai, but they had not had any children. Terah, his eldest son Abram, wife Sarai, and Lot, Abram's orphaned nephew, set out together to travel to Canaan. They headed northwest around the edge of the Arabian desert, but they didn't actually get to Canaan. They stopped when they got to a place called Haran, and they settled there. Haran is still quite somewhere north of where they were headed to. It's in southern Turkey, just north of the Syrian border. Not a place I would recommend visiting at the moment, but that's where they settled, and it's where Terah died. And it's sometime after his death that God first spoke to Abram. And God told Abram to leave his family and the place in which they had settled and go to a land that God would show him. God promised to make of Abram a great nation, to bless him, and to make him a blessing to others. God said that those who blessed Abram would be blessed, and those who cursed Abram would be cursed, and all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. Well, I wonder what you make of a call and a promise like that when you have no children. How can you become a great nation when you don't have any heirs? The Bible says that at this point, Abram was already 75. Now, of course, we do have to remember that in the book of Genesis, they are not counting in quite the same way that we are counting. They're not using the same calendar. Their years are not the same as our years. Terah, we are told, was 205 when he died, which, if they're counting the same way we do, seems fairly unlikely to me. So we don't really know how old Abram was in our terms, but we have already been told that Sarai was not able to have children. We can assume that they are far enough through their lives that they know that it's pretty unlikely they are going to have any children. So how did Abram understand God's promise to him? And what did he make of this call to set out on the road again after he'd already made a very long journey to a place that was yet to be made clear? How do you set out on a journey when you're not sure where you're going? What do you put into your sat-nav if you don't know what your final destination is going to be? But the next few verses make it clear that Abraham understood this to be an instruction from God to continue on the journey that he and his father had originally started to the land of Canaan. So that's what he did. He took his own household with him, and he also took his nephew, Lot. Lot was the son of one of Abraham's younger brothers who had died at a young age. And as the Bible records it, there's no hesitation, there's no question, there's no, well, hang on a minute, God, what am I supposed to do? Abraham just does it. He and his household set out on a journey and they head towards the land of Canaan. And if we have read the rest of the book of Genesis, we know the story. We know what happens. We know that Abram gets a bit fed up of waiting for God to fulfill the promise of a son, takes matters into his own hands, sleeps with Sarai's servant. Ishmael is born. We know that eventually Abram and Sarai do have a son, Isaac, and that Abram has that testing moment when he believes that God is asking him to sacrifice his son. We know that the Jewish people will trace their ancestry back to Isaac, while the Muslim peoples trace their ancestry back to Ishmael. We know that the promise will be fulfilled. But Abraham didn't know any of that. Abraham just heard what God said to him, believed the promise, got up and went. Why is he so important? Why is it that the three major monotheistic faiths all trace their roots back to him? Well, one is because he is the founder of the people Israel. It will be his grandson, Jacob, who takes on the name of Israel, and Jacob's sons who give their names to the 12 tribes of Israel. But the people will always trace their ancestry back to Abraham, as God eventually changes his name to, and they will call him their father. He's the first person in the Bible to receive a promise from God about being given a land to call his own. And he's the first to hear and respond to a call to go somewhere and become God's people. The only other person at this point in Genesis to have responded to God's call is Noah, who does as he's told and builds the ark. Abraham is the first one who is told that he and his descendants are going to be the people of God. And as we heard in that second reading, the New Testament writers trace not just the people of Israel, but the community of faith all the way back to Abraham. For St. Paul, what matters is Abraham's faith in God's promise. And Paul says that if we have faith in God, we too are children of Abraham. Because our place as God's children doesn't depend on anything that we do. It depends on our faith in God's promise to us. If God says we belong, then we do. We don't have to earn our place in God's household. There's no kind of test that we have to pass to prove that we are able to belong. All we have to do is believe and have faith. We are invited to be part of the family of God, not because of anything we do, but because God invites us. But I think Abraham also reminds us of our calling to be a blessing to others. Abraham is told that right at the outset. This is not just about you, but through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Both Judaism and Christianity started out as community faiths, not individual faiths. It was the faith of a whole community of people gathered together. Our faith is not supposed to be just about my relationship with God, but about our identity as God's people. And that's one of the reasons why it's pretty difficult, I think, to be a Christian in the fullest sense if you don't belong to a church. Sure, you can believe in God, you can do good things without going to a church. But really, to be a Christian in the fullest sense, you need to belong to the body of Christ. Because the task of the church, when Christians come together, is to be a blessing to others. That's what we are here for. We're not here this morning just for ourselves and our own needs. We're here because God calls us to be a blessing to others. And a church that is flourishing ought to be making a difference to its community. We might do that in many different ways, through our care of those who've been bereaved, through feeding the hungry, through the work that we do in schools, by providing a safe place for others to come to with whatever their needs might be. But being Christian isn't just about what God can do for me. It's about what God can do through me for others. Following God's call wasn't always going to be easy for Abraham. And if you read through the next few chapters of Genesis, you'll find that he got himself into one or two sticky situations. But through his faithfulness, many generations of people have found God's blessing. So we too are children of Abraham, not necessarily because of physical descent, but because of faith. And we are invited to follow Abraham, entrusting God's promise to us and responding to it in faith. We're called to be a blessing to others. For something you might like to think about today, what could you do in the coming week that would bring a blessing to someone else? Because whenever we seek to bless others, we are allowing God to be at work in us and through us, just as God was at work in Abraham. So whatever else you're doing this week, look around you and ask yourself, how could you bring God's blessing to others in the coming week?